Roppongi, Roppongi, Roppongi lights, Roppongi bites. What's up, everyone? Quentin Moody from Psychology is Dead, checking in for this week's installment of Old School versus New School. And the match I selected for Parv involves maybe the most talked about man in professional wrestling so far this year, Kenny Omega. It's Kenny Omega and Chuck Taylor versus the Young Bucks, and it's from PWG October 4th, 2009. The reason why I picked this match is because recently Parv made some comments on the Pro Wrestling Only board about Kenny Omega having bad fundamentals and not doing basic moves. And when he said that, I thought of this match where it's essentially a Southern tag structure. Kenny Omega's playing fiery babyface. The Young Bucks are getting sympathy and heat on Chuck Taylor. So even though it's in PWG, and PWG has its reputation for being goofy and doing spots for the sake of spots and not having any real story, I think this match is one of the outliers to what people view PWG as. And I'm curious to see what Parv makes of a match where I think Kenny Omega is playing essentially an old-school babyface.
Well, first of all, I like the fact that Omega and Chuck Taylor are called men of low moral fiber here. Why? Because I'd like to think that it's an oblique reference to the men of low moral fiber found in that classic PC adventure game, Monkey Island. If so, that's an awesome reference and inside joke, which goes down well with me. Omega is wearing some sort of zombie horror mask here, and there's some very fishy behavior from him in the early going. After about 8 minutes, this mask falls off. I thought the Young Bucks were doing a decent job of working over Taylor, but this doesn't really go anywhere before Omega is tagged in. I'm having a really tough time working out the baby faces and heels here, to be honest, so I can't work out if this was an early shine sequence or an aborted face in peril sequence. Omega puts the mask on Nick Jackson at one point. There's a lot of shtick and comedy from Omega in the early going. It seems that structurally, at least, Omega and Taylor are the heels here, even though they don't appear to be booed or do anything particularly heelish. But structurally, we're settling into a face in peril sequence on Nick Jackson. I criticized Omega recently for not doing enough basic moves, so I was pleased to see him do a snapmare here. Shortly after, he does a move called the chainsaw, which is a sort of nose-raking thing, which looks absolutely ridiculous. I'm wondering if Quentin picked this match as some sort of rib. what is this? That's genuinely what I was thinking at this moment. There's a hot tag to Matt Jackson, and he comes in with an awful lot of stiffness. He tags Nick back in, perhaps a little too quickly, after he's taking punishment for the past 10 minutes. Stereo backflip dropkick from the Young Bucks, stereo Indian deathlocks, which is actually an echo of a Funk's double team spot. Then we actually get a spinning toe hold, and even one of the commentators asks, are the Young Bucks big fans of Terry Funk and Dory Funk Jr.? But then the other commentator quickly says, I've got to be honest with you and say that they might not even know who the Funks are. I mean, man. Anyway, whatever the case, they work over both the legs of Taylor. And the commentary, I have to say, is pretty shambolic. I mean, I can see some people liking this vibe, this kind of shambolic all over the place atmosphere that they've got. But let me tell you this. This sort of unprofessionalism would not fly if Sean Mooney was around. This section on Taylor's legs has been the best aspect of this match so far. Maybe this is the face in peril section? I mean, it's hard to say. Taylor fights out of the corner with a belly-to-belly suplex, which allows the commentary team to name-check Scott Steiner, Magnum TA, Kenzuki Sasaki, and various others. Omega works big and over the top, maybe a bit too much comedy for me. Some of the transitions and sex sequences over this part of the match, about 20 minutes in, are a bit telegraphed, don't flow quite as well as I'd like. I do like the fact that Omega seems to have a lot of moves named after Ryu from Street Fighter 2. I mean, he's actually got a move called Shinku Haruken. I mean, that's not just basic Street Fighter knowledge, that's kind of getting up into the super duper moves. Down the finishing stretch, this gets very spotty, just a lot of high spots which get the crowd hot, but they increasingly start happening for little to no reason. We get some Misawa elbow exchanges, stereo super kicks, a Haduken from Omega gets two, and for those not familiar, he actually doesn't do a Ryu fireball, obviously, but just the motion. Nick Jackson pulls the ref out on a three count. Actually, it seems like, despite all of the things I've said, that Omega and Taylor are the faces, and the crowd is behind them, and the Young Bucks have been more heelish despite having a ton of babyface spots. It's all very confusing, but I guess in 2009 in PWG, face and heel wasn't that important a thing. Just getting, maybe it's the context, just judging by the crowd reactions and all of his mannerisms and the way he was playing up to the crowd, it's pretty clear that Omega, at least, was a fan favorite, a big baby face here. I guess a lot of my confusion came from the Young Bucks and their kind of the relative kind of crowd dynamics with them, and some of the structural things, because it just wasn't worked as a straight up southern tag. Anyway, this was fun. I thought Omega was entertaining. His ridiculous over the top way of working is nothing that I particularly have a problem with, and I appreciate all of the video game references. And since he has a move called Haduken, I'm putting that Monkey Island joke as a lock. I thought the finishing stretch was very messy and the match lost its way after the Young Bucks had that very solid section on Taylor's leg, which I'm in retrospect looks like it's the face in peril sequence, since I think Omega and Taylor are the faces. So anyway, I'd go 3.5 stars on this. It's very fun. You know, nothing that's going to set the earth on fire, but I'm not too disappointed that I've seen it. So the match I've picked for Quentin this week is Ted DiBiase versus Jake Roberts from 7/22/85. This is from Mid-South. The reason I picked this match is because it's just an ABC of how to work a pro wrestling match. I really think in this match that Ted is the perfect heel, bailing, teasing, stoking the flames of the crowd, and Jake is the perfect babyface, milking the heat. I really like the way that Ted is all cowardice and tentativeness at the start of this match, and then all violence and intensity when he's on top, and then all cockiness and arrogance when Jake is down. This is one of the reasons why lots of people think he's one of the greatest heels of all time. This is exactly how to work heel. And Jake is pretty underrated at selling a beatdown. He really times his comebacks and really the fundamentals in this match, the basics, how to work face, how to work heel, is fantastic. So this is why I've given this match to Quentin.
Now for the match parv pick for me, he selected Ted DiBiase versus Jake Roberts from July 22nd, 1985. Now, I'll be honest, I've seen a little Mid-South, not as much as some people have, and I haven't really loved Ted DiBiase's work there. Parv really champions him as this fantastic worker, and in the bit I've seen, I haven't been blown away. Jake Roberts, I've seen none of his Mid-South work, so this is all completely new to me. Off the bat, I'll say this featured some really strong heel work from Ted, maybe the most impressive I've seen from him in Mid-South so far. Now, before people are yelling at me and all this, I'll say that I haven't seen the Coal Miner's Glove tuxedo match or whatever that he had with Jim Duggan. So far, without seeing that match, this is the most impressed I've been with him. I think he does a good job managing the time, getting the crowd riled up, only engaging when he feels like engaging. It's basic stuff, but he does it very well. He did it well in the matches I saw with him against Magnum TA, and I think he did it even better here, where Magnum was a much bigger and more, I guess, easy to root for babyface. He did this facing Jake Roberts, who I've never seen work babyface up until this point. So I thought that was a very interesting performance from him. Now, Jake Roberts is the key thing here. I thought he was a surprisingly compelling babyface. He had great fire, great wobbly leg selling, great bumping. It was something where if you're only used to seeing Jake as this cunning predator that he was in the WWF, you wouldn't think he could do this, but I thought he was a great guy showing fire in passion and almost a short fuse, where you can tell he really didn't have a strategy. His strategy was hitting the DDT. So it's a guy where he's not fully fleshed out into his persona as a cold, calculated killer. He's someone that has one devastating move, and he's trying his best to hit it. The build to the DDT actually happening, I thought was pretty great, because they teased it at first in the beginning, and Ted escaped it two or three times, and then when Jake actually hits the move, the crowd comes unglued, and I think that's a perfect example of presenting a move as something devastating that I really enjoy in my wrestling, where sometimes finishers or finishing moves will feel inconsequential, but when you build up that finishing move just right and the crowd buys into it every time you even set it up, that's a work of art to me. The finish was pretty great, I thought. Dr. Death Steve Williams was seconding Ted DiBiase to the ring, and they were playing heels, so during the end of the match, or the ending portion, Dr. Death grabs Jake Roberts' leg. Jake Roberts, who was seconded by someone, I'm not sure who it was, maybe Parv will tell me after we do this, but there was a quick comeuppance where usually Babyface getting his retribution for cheating will come much later. It was kind of an immediate gratification where Dr. Death cheats, they get in the ring, Dr. Death accidentally knocks over Ted DiBiase, he gets thrown out, then Jake Roberts hits the DDT and it wins. It's not super drawn out, it's not super convoluted, it's very instant in getting that comeuppance. And that's not something I think happens enough in wrestling. So it was kind of refreshing there. I also like the length on this. This was about 12 minutes. And without context, I thought it was a really great sprint that could have been a fantastic TV match. I don't know if it was a TV thing or a special or whatever, but that would have been a perfect TV match. So yeah, I really enjoyed this. I'm glad he picked this because it made me not want to give up on Ted DiBiase in Mid-South, and it made me want to seek out more Jake Roberts.